Good day, and welcome to the Anacap Financial Europe conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Chris Ross Roberts. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Audra. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Anacap Financial Europe S.A. SICAV Raiff quarterly investor presentation for the period ending the 31st of March 2019. As set out on page two of the presentation, Justin, Ed, and I will take you through the presentation, and then we'll open the line to the Q&A session at the end. In addition to the Q&A session, please remember you can send any questions through to info@anacapfe.com or through the website at www.anacapfe.com, where we will endeavor to reply to them as soon as we can. Details can be found at the end of this presentation. Before we begin, can I please draw your attention to the disclaimer on page one of the presentation, which highlights that the presentation is produced solely for informational purposes and cautions against any forward-looking statements, and that by attending this call and reviewing the presentation, you're agreeing to the limitations set out on page one of the presentation. I'd like to start by turning to page three, basis of preparation of the financial statements, before handing over to Justin. The results for AFEE we are presenting today are for the 3 months to the 31st of March 2019. As the acquisition of the portfolio business was completed on the 21st of July 2017, where in the presentation we make reference to the 12 months to March 2018, these include a combination of the results of both the portfolio business to the date of the acquisition, together with the results of AFEE subsequent to the acquisition. I'll now hand over to Justin, who will start by covering the highlights for the quarter.
Thank you, Chris. Turning to slide six, I would like to discuss key highlights for the first quarter of 2019. In terms of financial highlights, AFE generated just under 32 million euros of gross collections in the quarter, which was more than 11% ahead of our forecast. Total costs were also better than expectations, with a total fully loaded operating cost ratio of just 26.9%. This resulted in 22.4 million of adjusted EBITDA, with net debt to last 12-month adjusted EBITDA of 3.79 times. As for the portfolio overall, 84-month ERC now stands at just over 555 million euros, with almost 90% now more evenly balanced across core geographies of Italy, Portugal, and Spain. Whilst Italy remains an important target market for us, given a still enormous supply of NPLs, Italy is now down to 42% of total ERC from 62% 1 year ago. Although circa 75% of our total ERC is expected from secured debt, the total market value of underlying real estate collateral and cash in court from already disposed assets is 728.6 million euros, or more than 30% above our total ERC, which represents a significant source of potential upside, as well as, of course, downside protection. In fact, following a significant ramp-up in capital deployment in 2018, we are pleased to see strong early outperformance from these portfolios, driven by early settlements above forecast ERC. And as highlighted previously, this represents a still growing base of collections from AFE's predominantly secured portfolio as it moves along through varied recovery procedures. Although capital deployment is typically low in the first quarter of the year, as the pipeline begins to develop and the first wave of active transactions comes to a head, we continue to remain disciplined and selective in deployment, expecting to complete no more than 1 in 10 of every transaction we price. The one new acquisition we did recently complete, just after the quarter ended, was a small direct follow-on to 2 prior, highly comparable transactions from the same Spanish seller, which put us in a strong competitive position. In fact, we are not only seeing a strong overall pipeline in each of our core geographies, but numerous bilateral opportunities like that one, where we are directly engaged with known sellers, in each of Italy, Spain, and Poland, also representing direct follow-on opportunities. Finally, in terms of capital deployed, we did also repurchase 10 million euros nominal value of bonds, which were canceled with immediate effect, as we continue to monitor and manage our capital structure. Operationally, as we continue to mine predominantly well-known geographies and asset types, where ANICAP has particular expertise, such as in secured debt, we continue to develop our platform accordingly. ANICAP's Minerva IT platform now integrates data directly from a panel of 14 servicers across six geographies. And following regulatory approval for a new securitization vehicle in Portugal, we are finalizing the incorporation of a Portuguese subsidiary in AIF, which will be developed, as we've continued to do, with our investment in both Phoenix Asset Management in Italy and Galata Asset Management in Spain. I will now turn it back over to Chris for more details on financial performance.
Thank you, Justin. If we can turn to page 8, key financial highlights for the quarter ended 31st of March 19, strong collections and positive revenue results in Q1 2019. As expected, with the deployment that took place in 2018, we are showing good growth in revenue year on year. As you heard from Justin, AFES has a positive start to the year, with attributable collections growing at 13% ahead of the forecast. As discussed at the time, in March 2018, we were successful in accelerating some larger single positions in Italy in a single month. The combined realization was 12.4 million. Adjusting for the multiple liquidations of several larger positions in 1 month, underlying growth in collections is 56.1%. By comparison, the top three realizations in Q1 2019 accounted for 1.9 million. As you heard from Justin, although very early on in the life of the portfolios, the 2018 vintage has got off to a very strong start, with a combination of acceleration and better-than-expected asset prices being achieved. Our accounting policy is not to recognise any of this overperformance in the balance sheet value, as we believe it's too early in the portfolio life to do so. A full line-by-line revaluation exercise will be undertaken at the end of June, in line with the normal revaluation timetable. As previously indicated to you, you'll have noticed an uptick in the operating cost ratio in the period from 22.8% to 26.9%. The two key drivers of this. The quarter ended March 2018 benefited from a lower than average cost to collect ratio on the larger positions, reducing that quarter's cost to a lower than normal level. And the deployment in 2018 results in expected uplifting costs in the short term, as presented in the full year results presentation. The uplift in operating costs is lower than anticipated, and we've seen more accelerated collections through amicable collections, stroke non-full legal term channels, than anticipated at the time of underwriting. We do, however, expect the operating cost ratio to increase during 2019 before decreasing again in 2020. Although I know I've said this before, it is worth noting that the operating cost ratio we refer to is the total operating costs, excluding non-recurring items, rather than a cost-to-collect ratio, and therefore includes all overheads of the business. Our overhead structure is predominantly variable and relative to the value of portfolios held in the business. Our relatively low overheads, driven by the use of our digital platform Minerva and its variable nature, results in an overall higher margin. In summary, AFE's total operating costs remain market-leading. Adjusted EBITDA and the last 12 months adjusted EBITDA has, as expected, dropped marginally as the higher costs in the early stages of deployment are incurred ahead of expected collections, and the comparison period benefited from the acceleration of some larger, lower cost to collect positions. However, adjusted EBITDA for the period to 31st March 2019 is 47% higher than at the time of the bond issue for the 12 months to March 17. The growth in ERC reflects deployment that took place during 2018 and no purchases took place in this particular quarter. We can turn to page 9, growth in collections in ERC. We can see the graphic representation of the growth in gross collections since 2014 to 2018. From 2014 to 2018, the CAGR on core collections, which excludes sales of previously owned Spanish and Portuguese portfolios, shows a growth of 24%. You recall from the year-end presentation that given the nature of the predominantly secured book purchased in 2018, we see embedded growth in collections out in 2020, but relatively flat collections from existing assets in 2019. In the current year, gross collections are 3% lower than prior year. This is, however, well ahead, 11.3% of our December 2018 revaluation. Just as a reminder, gross collections include collections made on behalf of co-investors in entities controlled and consolidated in AFE. A reconciliation of gross collections to attributable collections, which drive ERC, is included on page 28 of the appendix. Attributable collections are 13% ahead forecast for Q1 2019. ERC has grown by 35.3% as at the 31st of March 2019 compared with the prior period. This increase will drive revenue, growth in revenue in the current year and collections in 2020. On the 1st of April, as you heard from Justin, we completed a small follow-on acquisition of a secure portfolio in Spain for circa €9 million, the third follow-on from the same seller as two previous acquisitions. We anticipate that purchases this year will be weighted towards the second half of 2019. Turning to page 10, year-to-date gross attributable collections 13% ahead of forecast, driven by accelerated recoveries. Given the nature of our secured portfolio with some larger average balances, we always anticipate some volatility over the timing of the sale of collateral assets. Ed will give you some colour on balance distribution later in the presentation. But as a reminder, each half year we undertake a full line-by-line review of the portfolio with our services and asset managers to assess both the value of the underlying collateral and the updated estimates of timing of collections within the ARC. We also carry out an analytical view at the end of each quarter, and if we foresee a risk to underperformance, we adjust accordingly. You'll note from the graphs on page 10 that we exceeded our forecast made in December 18 for Q1 by 13%. As you may recall from the full-year presentation, we missed the full-year December 17 forecast by 2%, but exceeded the June revaluation by 3%. So as part of our normal review of ERC, we had adjusted our forecast at the time of the June revaluation and booked any resulting impairment in H1 2018. The delta forecast is predominantly around timing of receipts, which can be difficult to predict in a short time frame. For example, there may be time when asset sales are delayed or take longer to realise as we seek to maximise overall return from an NPV basis. Turning to page 11, 2018 deployment embeds growth in cash generation out to 2020, a good indicator of adjusted EBITDA growth. The graph on page 11 splits out ERC by year and geography. ERC only includes collections that are attributable to AFE. We'll note from the profile that given recent purchases and the expected timing of collections, the business has embedded growth in cash flow from its current book out to 2020. A key lead indicator for adjusted EBITDA growth without any further deployment. Given our predominantly variable cost structure and the fact that third-party costs tend to be incurred in advance of collections, this graph should be a useful guide to estimating the pattern of adjusted EBITDA from currently owned assets. In addition, given we recently deployed capital across four geographies, including Poland, collections by country are more diversified and more reflective of the countries that the Anacap platform has been operating in for many years. Turning to page 12, market-leading cost structure and margins. Operating expenses declined from 35% of collections to 24% of collections from 2014 2018, partly reflecting, apart from the recent 2018 deployment, the relatively maturity of the back book. As anticipated and previously indicated, following the deployment of capital in 2018, we are seeing an increase in the total operating expenses of AFE. As I said earlier, the comparative period to March 18 also benefited from lower than normal cost to collect, as some of the large single positions were collected in the month of March 2018, at a lower than average cost to collect. Normalized adjusted EBITDA dropped 7.5% in the period to 22.4 million, and LTM adjusted EBITDA at 95 million was marginally lower than reported at the 31st of December 2018. Given the expected collections profile from existing assets in 2019 and the cost curve shared with you for the 2018 vintage, we do not expect growth in adjusted EBITDA until 2020. As a reminder, we've already seen significant adjusted EBITDA growth to date, and for the period of 31st of March 2018, it's 47% higher than at the time of the bond issue. As Ed will come on to share with you, we continue to build our asset management capability locally and believe we are seeing the benefit of this to recent outperformance in the timing of collection. Turning to page 13, positive key debt metrics. Leverage at the 31st of March is marginally increased to the year-end position at 3.79 versus 3.74 times. Both the LTV ratio and the super senior revolving credit ratio are well within covenant levels at 64.8% and 2.2% respectively. As previously discussed, we do expect leverage to increase in 2019 before rapidly declining in 2020. Driven by our existing asset base and expected timing of collections and costs. Timing of portfolio acquisitions can also impact backward-looking leverage numbers, which is why we also track a pro forma leverage based on assets owned at the end of each quarter. Turning to page 14, proven ability to delever, leverage in line with market guidance, and pro forma leverage at 31 March, 2019 at 3.03 times. You'll note from the graph on the top of the page that since March 2017, the group leverage fell from 4.6 times to 2.68 times at March 2018. During that period, we deployed a relatively modest amount of capital, 25.4 million. Following recent deployment, 2018 leverage has increased to 3.79 times. This is, of course, a static snapshot at a point in time and reflects the fact that debt has been incurred at the quarter's end and that given the collection profile of the secured book purchased, collections will follow in future years and therefore adjusted EBITDA will lag by some time as reflected in our ERC profile set out on page 11. Calculating a simple pro forma leverage by applying the current margin based on the current operating costs, the current ERC for the period 1st of April 2020 to 31st of March 2021 is a pro forma leverage ratio of 3.03 times as at 31st of March 2019. I'll run through these calculations with you within the financial policy page, which sets these out. This is further supported by the graph on the bottom left that demonstrates the effective time lag between deployment in 2016 and growth in adjusted EBITDA, with a modest drop following a slowdown of deployment in 2017. We anticipate a similar shape going forward, with a significant uplift in adjusted EBITDA in 2020. Turning to page 15, financial policy, we have set out on page 15 AFE's financial policy. Given our continued focus on predominantly secured portfolios, where collections are generally higher in years 2 and 3 following the year of purchase, and costs of the percentage of collections are generally lower in those years, we adopt a pro forma debt to net debt to EBITDA ratio that takes into account the anticipated collections from assets owned by the business and resulting in anticipated adjusted EBITDA against debt as at the end of the period. Otherwise, the balance sheet reflects debt at a static point in time with a backward-looking profit profile. We set a policy of a maximum pro forma leverage ratio of 3.5 times. At the 31st of March 2019, the pro forma leverage was 3.03 times. The calculation of this is set out on slide 15 as follows. Taking our forecast collections from existing assets in the 12-month period, 1 April 2020 to 31 March 2021, from the underlying data set out on page 11 at $162.4 million, we apply our current all-in operating cost ratio, determine a pro forma adjusted EBITDA of 118.7. This is a highly prudent assumption as it uses the current quarter's total operating cost ratio, which we believe to be higher than the medium-term average expected. Given net debt as of 31st of December is $359 million, that gives a pro forma leverage of 3.03 times. This is based on assets owned today and underpinned by underlying collateral. Net debt is total debt, including bond, RCF, and the term facility, less cash. There is no further SPV-level debt excluded from these calculations. In respect of dividends, we have paid a dividend of $10.1 million in March 2019. No further dividends are expected to be paid in 2019. Dividends are expected to be paid annually. However, this is subject to leverage, liquidity, and overall profitability. On the 3rd of May 2019, AFE was successful in purchasing bonds with a nominal value of €10 million. The purchase of bonds were cancelled with immediate effect. We continue to constantly review our capital structure and liquidity position, and we will look to optimise this over time. Depending on market conditions and our operating results, this could include open market repurchases of securities, amongst other strategies. I'll now hand over to Ed to give you some more insight into AFE ERC and asset management. Ed.
Thank you, Chris. So today, I'll update on the evolution of the composition of our portfolio ERC, both in terms of geography, asset type, and balance bands, and we'll outline the key highlights over the last quarter for the operational developments of our asset management platform. So starting with page 17, the comparison of our ERC split by geography at the end of March 2019 versus the same point in the prior year demonstrates increased diversification across our core geographies, with our ERC profile across countries now more reflective of ANICAP's historic track record. Italy at 42%, a decrease from 62% at the equivalent point last year. Portugal at 23%, an increase from 15% last year. And Spain at 21%, an increase again from 15% last year. Poland now represents 7% of our ERC. Incremental diversification into a geography where ANICAP's been active for a number of years through our private equity investment in Nestbank. Successful onboarding of the portfolio is now completed and early signs are positive. Again, from an asset type perspective, turning to page 18, the snapshot of ERC reflects maintained focus in secured asset classes, especially in secured consumer NPL, which has increased from 6% to 24%. Driven by targeted deployment in Portugal and Poland. If you turn over to page 19, you'll see a breakdown of our portfolio by balance bands. The blue bars chart the distribution of account volume, i.e. number of live accounts. The green bars chart the distribution of account value, i.e. overall claim balance. And the beige bars represent the portion of our ERC that sits within each of those balance bands. AFE remains highly diversified. The majority of our account volume is located within smaller sub-10K balance bands. The majority of our claim balance sits within higher balance bandings, reflecting the significantly secured nature of the book. And our ERC, the beige line, is just distributed across a range of different balance bandings, with a clustering of ERC from accounts ranging between 50 to 250K. Reflecting our focus on secured assets. In secured assets, our approach to underwriting, valuation, and forecasting is driven by in-depth review of the underlying collateral value, leveraging our own in-house data, supplemented by external real estate valuations in conjunction with a forensic assessment of the legal status and trajectory. And in larger balance sizes, so over 1 million, which represents 7% of ERC on this chart. Our approach is to leverage multiple points of internal and external insights to ensure an ERC expectation that is set conservatively, providing tolerance between our liquidation value and the market value, and creating potential upside if higher values can be achieved towards claim value. I will now outline the proportion of our ERC that's constituted by our largest positions. On slide 20, there are two charts. The first chart on the left-hand side measures how the ERC from our top 50 positions breaks down by geography. The second chart on the right-hand side measures the value of ERC from our top 50 that falls into each year of our ERC projection. Diversification means that although there are some larger positions, ERC is not overly dependent on a single claim or position. Our largest 50 positions constitute 11% of our ERC. Our largest single position represents 1% of ERC. And what you'll see on the right-hand side is that the left-hand side is a relatively even split by geography, in line with our ERC profile, and on the right-hand side, a relatively even split across 2020 to 2022. And as for all our secured assets, our approach to ERC expectation on top 50 positions is driven by in-depth review of collateral value, leveraging all available insights. Given their size, additional oversight and engagement from centralized asset management teams, as well as local subsidiaries. Moving on to slide 21, our asset management platform is continuing to evolve to capitalize on the opportunities generated by our diverse asset base. As Justin touched on, in Portugal, we've recently secured regulatory approval for a securitization vehicle that will improve the cost and data efficiencies of acquiring NPLs in Portugal. And over the coming months, we'll build out our operation in Lisbon, adding legal workout and analytics capabilities alongside the experienced resource who is currently in situ as a country leader. In Spain, Galata has delivered build-out of its special servicing capabilities, having recently relocated in addition to larger premises. Over the coming months, it will take on segments of our existing Spanish portfolio to champion challenge our third-party servicing providers. In Italy, Phoenix Asset Management continues to develop its platform, having recently executed a systems upgrade and launched an office in Milan alongside its headquarters in Rome. We expect continued expansion and build-out of its secured collection strategy toolkit and its real estate capabilities over the coming months. And finally, the Anacap Minerva platform continues to expand the scope of data capture from our services, capturing granular operational data on a daily basis, with our data science capabilities recently augmented by the addition of a new head of analytics. So in summary, material developments in the build-out of our capabilities within our asset management platform to capitalise on the opportunities presented by the diversity of our book. I'll now hand over to Justin for concluding remarks.
Thanks, Ed. In summary, AIF delivered better than forecast collections and lower costs, driving out performance in adjusted EBITDA of $22.4 million for the quarter. Our master servicing model, working with an established servicing panel, underpins an industry-leading total operating cost ratio of just 26.9% in the quarter. This cost efficiency helps ensure AIF is able to maintain pricing discipline and selective deployment, with only one new portfolio purchase so far in 2019. Continued development in Anacap's Minerva IT platform and local subsidiaries in each of Italy, Spain, and now Portugal are supporting underwriting and driving collections outperformance as seen in our results. AIF's forecast includes embedded growth in portfolio collections, including strong early performance from significant purchases in 2018. Leverage metrics of net debt to last 12 months adjusted EBITDA is at 3.79 times with an LTV ratio of 64.8%. And as we continue to monitor and manage our capital structure, we repurchased $10 million nominal value of bonds on the 3rd of May, which were canceled with immediate effect. Thanks for listening. and we're now happy to turn it over to questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach the equipment. Once again, that is star 1 for questions. We'll go first to Peter McCandless of MSF.
Hi, a couple questions. First, I was wondering, could you talk a bit about the rationale for the bond repurchase that took place beginning of May? Was this partly a function of the business having more cash than anticipated, given the limited portfolio purchases year to date? And also, I see in the financial report, $10 million of bonds were repurchased for around $9 million. Can you confirm that the bonds were purchased around a cash price of $90 then?
Yeah, it's Chris. I'll answer. Yeah, I can confirm that, you know, as part of our stated policy to manage our overall liquidity and capital structure, we were sometime in the market looking to buy a modest amount of bonds back, and at an average price, or you're correct, is 90. The rationale is, you know, when we started that purchase, they were trading much lower, and we thought we could. You know, we had some excess liquidity, and it made sense to actually, you know, purchase those back and buy them as part of the overall strategy of optimizing the total capital structure.
Okay. And in terms of portfolio purchases, then for the rest of the year, could you talk about, you know, kind of what level we should expect, and also, what would be the priority markets? It sounds like maybe Portugal because of the securitization vehicle. Is Italy potentially going to be less and less important, and we see that kind of share of ERC drifting down?
Yeah, I mean, this is Justin. I think, first off, in terms of, I think we've indicated before, we're targeting around about $100 million of purchases from here. We may do less than that. We could exceed that slightly. It will depend a bit on the specific opportunities presented. We are very focused on, obviously, trying to stay selective in a market that is increasingly competitive still in pockets. I do think we've seen perhaps improving conditions in many markets that we're active in, i.e. maybe we've seen the worst of competitive pressures as fewer new entrants seem to be coming into each of those markets. And I think participants like ourselves are continuing to consolidate around those markets where they have particular competitive advantages. I absolutely would keep Italy in that camp. I think Italy reduction in ERC, I think when we first launched the transaction a couple of years back, we mentioned the fact that we had previously sold some Spanish and Portuguese assets, and therefore our overall balance was not necessarily reflective of our historical trajectory. And I think that's really bringing it now back in line. Where we've slowed down in Italy, it also means that we're focused much more, I think it's fair to say, on smaller size, predominantly secured transactions. We're not actively participating in large volumes of auction deals. A lot of that market is driven today by individual portfolio financing, including public securitization, which is not an area we've been participating in. We're focused predominantly on smaller regional banks, trying to use the track record we've established now over many years in that country to unlock smaller deals, most of which are not in any form of traditional auction at all when we first begin the dialogue with sellers. I think the other markets, Spain, Portugal, of course, will remain important as well, and I think you should expect to see more of what you've seen over the past 12, 18 months, more even investment across each of those geographies.
Thank you very much.
And again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause just a moment. And at this time, there are no further questions. I'll turn the conference back over to management for any additional remarks.
Okay. Well, look, thank you very much, everybody, for the call. Just a reminder, if you've got any further questions, you can always email those to info@anacapfe.com. And thank you very much for your time.
And that does conclude today's conference. Again, thank you for your participation.